Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gammon. I'm your interim host sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And it's Friday, which means that this is the second day in a row I get to spend the first part of my day hanging out with really cool people. And Patrice, you looked up like, what? Where?
Not us. Definitely not us.
Yeah. Anyhow, really cool people. And I might as well just introduce who those cool people are. Patrice, I already name dropped you. So how are you?
I'm all over the place. That's all I
Just
can come up with. Today my brain is just like, whoops, school. No, I'm just busy with work. I had the day off yesterday and I went to southern Austria, to Graz. Lovely little city, like really nice. We looked at pictures yesterday in the big show, or before the big show, I think. Was it before? Was it during? I don't even remember.
I don't even remember anymore. It all bled together.
I don't even know what I had for breakfast, so don't ask me about it. I remember we talked about it. So there's a really cool Wikipedia article in our show notes slash chat transcript if you want to find it. And it was fun. It was really a lot of fun. And then today I had to work. So the weather is crap. That's the thing. Like, it's raining, it's cold.
Yeah. It was
And
weird
I'm here.
weather here last night.
Did you get
Well,
snow?
no, but
But
I'm
that would have
lucky
been
in that I
weird,
was in
right?
the window
Oh.
of space that did not get the tennis ball size hail.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's not
I'm,
good. That's
I
very
was
good for
wondering
you.
about you. Yeah, I was wondering about you, Jeff. I saw that. Some of that looked just frightening.
And so crazy hail. I guess there was a couple of tornadoes, and it started while I was on the In Touch with iOS, and I could hear the sound. I'm on the top level of my building, and I could hear the sound of the rain, and for me to hear that rain sound while I'm recording a show with headphones in, I knew it was raining hard. And then it just kept raining and raining and lightning. And then the alerts are coming in about the hail warnings. And yeah, luckily the hail didn't happen here. But holy crap, for some people, it was pretty devastating.
Yeah, I mean that can do real damage.
Cars totaled, roofs on houses destroyed.
I mean, just imagine if you get hit in the head with one of those.
Yeah, it could mess you up really bad.
I've been hit by a golf ball. They hurt.
Yeah, that's no fun.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
I have not been hit by a golf ball. I have, however, had my windshield destroyed twice driving past golf courses, and someone hits a ball out, and you just drive right into it as it's flying at you, and there's nothing you can do.
Mm.
Oh, good times. Speaking of good times, Chuck, how are you?
Thank you, Jeff. After death by golf ball, you introduced me. I appreciate it. No, I'm
How I
doing good.
roll.
Yeah, I'm doing good. I've been known to have a ball escape onto the highway, but happily, I've never hit anybody moving. So, which is, always a
Only the poor
concern, but.
squirrel. Only the poor squirrel you hit. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this squirrel, listen, they're so fast that you really have to work to hit them. You can do it, but it's not easy.
Yeah, see, that's a skill right there.
That's
That squirrel
definitely
was
a
asking for it.
Yeah, and before
Yes.
someone sends a nasty email and says, I hate squirrels, no, I don't.
We're
It just
kidding.
I'm just saying.
We're just kidding.
Mostly.
Mostly. Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks
Mostly.
for the bailout there.
Mostly.
Oh, sure thing. Yeah.
I wanted to mention something that I got in the mail the other day. I got my Apple Card. Because I know some people have the replacements coming in like now. I got mine. I mean, it's like arrived in like PO box in the US like a week ago or week and a half. Took a while to get here, but I got it. So looks really nice. It's really nice and
Nice.
colorful. And if someone asks, yes, there's a return like envelope that you get with it. I don't even know if this works from here. I would have to double check. But I'm not even sure I want to return it.
I'm betting
But it's
it doesn't work from where you are.
I'm not so sure. It doesn't say anything about US or not, so I'm guessing Apple would just pay for it. So
Oh,
I
all
don't pay
right.
for it. I don't care. But as I said, I'm even anyway not sure I want to return it because I kind of want to keep it. It's the first Apple card. I'm like,
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
Patrice,
but
that
it's
was,
like nice.
yeah, that I was going to ask you about that because I knew I saw obviously the write-ups that, they're asked you're supposed to send them back. Let's phrase it that way. But I never saw anything about there will be a $20 penalty, a $50 penalty, or
No.
anything about that. So are they just asking for them back?
They're just saying you can return them to have them recycled. They're not saying you have to return them or anything like that. They're just saying if you want to, here's an easy way to return them to get them recycled. So you don't throw them in a landfill or something. There's nothing here
Which
that
is a
says
nice move.
do
Yeah. Oh,
it.
yeah. 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 I'm like you, though. I think I don't usually hold on to things like that very often. But, for something,
Yeah, me neither.
frankly, as small as a credit card, and because it's an Apple card, in
Yeah, they're
15,
rare.
20 years, I can probably get a fortune for it on eBay.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I was thinking, like, because it is rare. I mean, if it was the second or third, whatever replacement card, it would be like, yeah, whatever. We'll figure out how to return it. We'll turn it, or I'll recycle it here or something. But since it's the first one, I'm like, maybe I want to keep it.
Yeah. I will probably do the same when my replacement card shows up.
Yeah, but it's still identical because there were some rumors that Apple would replace them with like other like maybe it's not Goldman Sachs or whatever. No, they look at it completely identical, literally the same card,
So
less marked up.
interesting.
That's the only thing.
Yeah, they didn't, as far as I can tell, they didn't technically need to replace the card because everything is digital.
No, because I think it still has the magnetic strip here. And I think that there's still data on that. And the chip
Oh,
also has, for
right.
sure, the chip also has some data on it. And I'm guessing there's an expiration date on that chip as well. So,
Yeah, okay, didn't
pretty
think of
sure
that.
that's why.
Yep.
Yeah. Otherwise, I mean, and as far as I'm aware of, there's no way to actually remotely update the chip. Like, I think that's a feature, not a bug, like that you can't update.
Yeah, I would hope
You're not
so.
supposed to.
Yeah, okay,
So
that makes sense.
that's why. Yeah.
I clearly
Yeah, I know
wasn't
some
thinking
people
of
said,
that.
oh, like they should just update it and there's anyway, there's nothing printed on it where there's still information on it. So that's why also I think Apple doesn't want you to just throw it away. Because that like, with credit cards, whatever, you take like scissors and you cut them in pieces. Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, that's not
Yeah.
happening with that card.
So
Try
that's
to
why
feed
they're
it.
probably saying, hey, I mean, one, it's metal, and two, maybe you should return that.
Yeah, try to feed it into your shredder and watch your shredder
Yeah,
die.
exactly.
Yeah, drop that
Yeah, I
down the
mean, you
garbage
can cut
disposal.
it. Like, it's not that impossible, but not with like anything household, I would assume.
So I'm
Probably.
curious because my Apple card has never seen the light of day. It came, I put it in a safe, secure place, and that was it. Everything is by phone, usually more often, frankly, by watch. But I still hear about people, having their Apple card out in the wild. Now, it's obviously more secure than a normal credit card, but even so, it's like the kind of the whole point was to not have to carry it. Did I miss
Yeah. I
something?
mean, I still carry it because, I mean, something might happen, you need it. And I've used it maybe probably exactly twice, like once in an Apple store here in Austria because they had never seen one. I'm like, oh, I can just pay with this card instead of the Apple Watch. So, like, let's do that just for fun. But other than that, like, yeah, never used it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I
Honestly,
haven't.
if Apple gave me the option not to get it, I would have probably thought about that because I spent some money to get it shipped here.
Yeah, I haven't physically used my card. I do carry it a lot of the time, the physical card. And I don't know why, but whatever. But I've been out with friends, like at a restaurant or whatever. Keep in mind, we're in the United States, so there's a lot of things that are kind of behind the curve still. And comes time to pay your bill, and the restaurant doesn't have tap to pay, or they'll have
True,
tap to
yes.
pay, but they won't have contactless payment like Apple Watch, or Apple Pay, Samsung Pay.
How does tap to pay work without contactless?
You lay the chip of your card on the reader.
That's contactless. That works with Apple Watch. It's literally the same technology. That there's no difference. The Apple Watch does nothing special.
Then
It's
why
literally
can't
just
restaurants in the United States fracking
because
do
they probably
this?
don't because they don't know better, probably.
Probably. Anyhow, but
And
I've been in restaurants where
yeah.
friends have had to pull out their physical Apple card to
Mm.
pay.
Well,
Yeah.
and frankly, they also have to have the hardware, Jeff, to, here there's
Yeah,
some
to do
restaurants.
contactless. Yeah.
Yeah, some restaurants around here, I love it. They have the little portable checkout thing, and they walk up to your
Like the
walk up to
rest
you.
of the
And
world.
well, I'm not,
It's.
I can't say that I've polled the whole rest of the world, but but there's still plenty of them, and even some of the
Yeah,
major chains that
true.
still want you to
Still
hand them
true.
that card.
Yeah. Here, I mean, here in Austria, I think it's getting to the point. I mean, there's kind of only two options nowadays. I think it's either there's like a couple places that are still cash only because that's where we're coming from, and like especially the very, let's say, Austrian German restaurants here in Vienna, even like Vienna, a big city, a lot of tourists, whatever. There is restaurants, Viennese restaurants especially, where they still take only cash. It's rare, but it's like still exists. Like some are just like, nope, don't want to do it. But most of them today, like everything's contactless. Like I can pay, like whatever, go to a store, buy something for 10 cents and pay contactless. Like they don't care. It's like money is money. The one thing I wanted to mention is because and that's why I talked about it. There's more metal cards these days. I think that's something that Apple started. I mean, this is here like my bank in Berlin, and like this is Trade Republic, like investment stuff. So all of them are metal nowadays. They're kind of proliferating.
Patrice, the
Whether that's a
Amazon
good
card,
thing or not.
yeah, the Amazon card is metal, and I've gotten flagged at airports because and
Too
it's
many
like,
metal cards.
oh,
Yeah,
that's
they keep.
right. Yeah,
Yeah,
my
they keep.
Amazon card's metal too.
They wave the wand over, and say, there's something in your backside, and it's like, no, there's nothing. Oh,
Oh, it's your map. Okay.
I had to pull it out
You don't.
and show them the card. And let
Yeah.
them wand it, and then wand everything else again. It's like,
Yeah.
okay, it's the
Yeah.
card.
That never happens to me because I have this in my purse, so that like that they can see. But I mean, this is like a lot of cards nowadays. Yeah. Yeah, so that's something I noticed that like more and more banks and other services are offering metal cards. I also said Amazon. Used to be all plastic and now it's metal.
I'm okay with metal cards, even though it adds extra weight. It's less plastic.
It's less plastic and they're also more resilient. Like, I mean, I've had literally had cards that like fell. I mean, even I'm looking here, this is my old like debit card from my bank, and like the plastic is peeling off. That happens all the time. So that's harder to do with metal, I would say.
A lot harder to do with metal.
Yes.
All right. I guess we should talk a little bit about Apple related news since it's the Mac show.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not even in chat.
And first story that I have. By the way, a lot of our stories come from Dave Ginsburg's show notes from In Touch with iOS. So thank you, Dave. This one, I can't remember if it was on his show notes, but I do remember.
Let's pretend it is.
Yeah. So, all right. So th this story, which came right from Dave's show notes, Apple TV might be coming to Android. So This isn't something Apple has excuse me, officially announced, but Apple does have or did have a job listing for someone who can write for Android, and this would be for an Apple TV app. So, and you're
I
shaking
don't
your
think
head
so.
no.
I'm
So,
shaking my head because, I mean, could it come to Android? Yes. But I think this is that would be a side kind of a side benefit. There is tons of Android TVs out there, like running Google Home and whatever, and like Android versions. And of course, Apple wants to be on those TVs. So of course they're gonna look for developers that can write that. And like if it's like if they have it, like why not also release it on like Android proper? So that's my theory for that.
And I just think it's logical. In fact, in some ways, I'm a little surprised it hasn't happened sooner, because why would you listen? We all love for Apple to do exclusive things just for us, and I'm as guilty of that as anybody. But if they're going to make a go of this and bring that wider audience, you're going to have to appeal to everyone a lot more, like all of the streaming services on all of the devices all the time.
And I mean that switch happened, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago. No, how old is Apple TV Plus now? Not that old, I think. So I probably
Yeah, I don't even
overestimated time,
remember
but
now.
5 years?
Yeah. Yeah,
Would that
maybe
be
5 years. Yeah.
2019
Yeah. Give
ish?
it.
Maybe 18, 19, I don't know.
Well, it was
So
it was pre-pandemic that it was introduced. So.
So it must be something like that. And but even I think even back then, very quickly they started to like partner up with other like set TV manufacturers with I think Amazon or I don't remember like who where they were, but I remember very early on that they said, okay, like I mean, for this app and for the streaming service to be successful, it can't just be on iOS like or on Apple devices. It has to be everywhere wherever people are watching. Very clear. And that's what they're doing. Have the TV app everywhere, everything goes through that, like all the channels that you have or the Apple TV Plus content that you have and like everything you buy and all of that just shows up on any device you have. That's their strategy.
I feel like I'm very ignorant on this topic. So just saying that up front.
You can be.
Oh, thank you. All right. With the number of smart TVs that are on the market already that have Apple TV support built in, this has been on Android for a while, right? Because Android's been the operating system for many of the smart TVs.
Actually, I'm not so sure. I mean, webOS is quite popular, like all LG and LG related stuff. I
Okay.
think there's some bespoke. I think Samsung is not using, technically not using Android, as far as I remember.
Oh, I assume Samsung was,
Yeah, I
but
think they
I
have
don't know.
their own software there. Maybe I'm
Okay.
wrong, but that's what I remember. So I'm not sure. I mean, might very well be. I don't even know on which boxes and devices Apple is like completely. I know a couple, but not all of them. So it's very, I mean, it's very possible that they're already there, and this is just okay. Someone is leaving, or they need an extra person. All
And
right.
also, are we talking? I mean, are we talking about some of the set-top boxes, or are we talking about mobile devices? I mean, can
It's
you get an
not.
Apple TV on Android on an Android, say, phone or tablet? I don't know.
As far as I know, no. Only on the TVs and setup boxes.
So that may be what we're really talking about, is
Well,
if.
that's the implication here that they're saying, oh, because there is this job posting, because of that, Apple will go to, or that means Apple will also go to Android. And that is possible, but I think that's, I mean, that's probably, as I said, just a side business. I think they're either already there or they're rolling out to more Android TVs.
And
And
look,
maybe to app Android then, because why
yeah, and
not?
I don't care, where they're going. I mean, at the end of the day, Apple TV is a pay for service. They want to expand their services revenue, so this is an untapped market at some level. We're none of us are quite sure. I was looking at my TCL TV in the living room, uses Roku, and there's
By
an
the
Apple
way,
TV app on there.
As I mean, someone definitely did not do fact checking because I mean we didn't, but the whoever wrote this, because here's the link to the Apple TV app in the Google Play Store.
Well, there you
So
go. Okay. Okay.
it's yeah.
So maybe they want something. I don't know. I don't know. I mean,
I
at
don't
some
know what
point, yeah.
I don't know what devices are supported, but
But what the? Just okay. What the hell, people? So.
look, we're Jeff,
Maybe.
we're all Apple users, so I'm not sure any of us are prepared to speak authoritatively about what is and is not available on Android.
Right.
And
Well,
and the quality of that, availability.
right. And just to be clear, my what the hell was not directed at us. It was directed at the people that have written these pieces where, like, why?
Yeah, from the reviews, I mean, it looks like it. I mean, you can select ratings from the phone and ratings from TV. So I'm guessing it's already a rated phone. It's very poorly rated. I mean, not a lot of ratings anyway, but very poorly rated. 1.4 stars. But yeah, whatever. Like,
Well, Apple does have a bad track record with their apps
yeah.
on platforms other than their own. I've said for a long time that the iTunes app on Windows is
Yes.
one of the best selling points for Spotify ever.
Oh yes. Yeah. I mean, not as I mean, not as if the app on even Apple devices would be all that great. So.
All right, so what we've established is that Apple is hiring a person for
Supposedly. Yes.
their Android software projects related to Apple TV Plus, and we don't know what that really means.
Well, it means they're probably looking for someone who can maybe can make it better or work on it.
We can live in hope.
So if you're an Android developer and you want to work on this, go for it.
I had to pick up an Android tablet a while ago for one of the projects I was working on, and I didn't want to spend a lot of money, so I got a Fire tablet, and then did the hack to add the Google Play Store on. I should install the Apple TV Plus app on that tablet and
Let's
see
see
how
how
it
bad it
works.
is. Yeah.
And see how bad it is. All right, I'll have to report back on that. All right.
Probably
Well,
not to the next couple of weeks. Because there's big
right.
things coming.
Right. Big things coming. Yep.
We hope.
We can live in hope. Yep. All
Yes.
right. Well, as long as we're talking about stuff that we don't really know about, let's talk about the future of Siri. So there is a report saying that that Siri in iOS 18 will be better at understanding contextually, which I think would actually be really good because
Freaking
then
finally.
and this will be part of the AI features that are going to be part of the new Siri.
I have a feeling that this is a complete rewrite of Siri. Or maybe not complete, but at least a pretty big rewrite.
It's, I agree. I think that Siri is getting a fundamental reworking
Yeah,
with
I mean,
iOS 18.
we've heard in the past that I mean, we heard in the past that Apple kind of developed themselves in a corner somehow with Siri and kind of couldn't get out of it. It was like it just, yeah,
Apple has a
architecturally
track
not
record with
great.
this.
Yes, they do, and I mean, we saw also that it basically didn't change for a long time, and that's usually Pretty, I mean, this can mean two things. Apple just abandoned it, which I don't think happened here, or they had to restart and do something in secret and then come out with it. And that takes usually a couple of years. I mean, that I know from development. Like, I mean, everything takes forever. So it's all, everything is complicated and it takes forever.
Yeah, everything's complicated, takes forever. Yep. But being
So
able to
cool.
do the contextual thing, this to me, assuming this is true and it works well, this for me will be a game changer with how I use tools like this. And I always bring up the Knowledge Navigator, which was the proof of concept thing. The video wasn't even proof of concept. It was just a concept video that Apple made back in the 90s, where a tablet was able to interact with its user in natural speaking language, and was able to act like an assistant. An administrative assistant, and triage emails and schedule appointments and make calls. And when you add in like intelligent contextualization, that gets us at least in theory to that point. And that's a big thing. And to me, it would make Siri a much more useful tool. Right now, it has been relegated to me arguing with it to get it to turn lights on in the correct room and play the music
I
that I
mean,
want.
yeah, I mean, for it works okay for the most part, but where it definitely falls down is a lot of the contextual stuff, a lot of the stuff where it would be better. I mean, it has all the like Apple has everything on the device there, like Siri is working on device, everything is on device, all the data is on, like it's connected to your phone. It does personal requests, like you can ask it for stuff on your calendar and so on, and it will do it. In with your HomePod, but it does not understand if you are whatever you're in the living room and you want to do something like contextually there, or you're doing five things in a row. It's like, okay, do this, 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 and then oh, and what about that? And it's in context of what you just asked. It just completely falls apart there. And this is a logical next step to do that. It has said it has all the data. It has some of the smarts, probably not smart enough, but it has some of the smarts, and maybe this is not better. It's kind of the next step. Get work, get like start to connect things. I mean, we saw it in the, if you think about it, we saw it on the phone to some extent, with like machine learning, where I
Yes,
mean, in the
you're reading
beginning,
my mind.
you had your calendar, you had your phone, you had your whatever appointments, you had whatever like messages, emails, whatever, and then it started telling you, hey. Whatever, you have this appointment at that point, you're here, the location is there, like you should probably leave now. Or hey, do you want to call into that whatever phone conversation that you have, like the conference call or whatever. Like it started connecting things and saying, hey, like I mean, you're usually whenever this meeting happens, you're usually at home. So I assume you want to be at home for this meeting, like and you should leave now if you want to do that.
Right. And
Stuff like that.
yeah, stuff like that. Oh, I've had it or my phone pop up a message asking essentially, do I want to call my parents? Because it learned the pattern of when I would talk to my parents on the phone.
Yeah, exactly. Or hey, you're always like in the morning, you're always opening like when you connect to whatever this network or this headphones, you open this app. Do you want to open this app?
Yes.
Stuff like that. So it started to connect like your behavior and things it knows about you from the device, or that it has on the device also. And I think it's the same thing here. Like it has all the data, it has all the I can talk to you and I can to some extent understand you. That could be better, but it's there. It's that is one of the few areas where Apple actually did improve a little bit. It used to be horrible, now it's not as horrible. It's still not good, but it's not as horrible. Yeah, that's so now let's connect things.
I agree. I have I think a lot of people think that I am very frustrated and unhappy with Apple's progress in AI and ML. That is not the case. My complaint has been Siri functionality and reliability. And that definitely needs improvement. But the stuff that's happening under the hood, I mean, I'm super impressed with how my phone has adapted to my life. Now I just need the
I mean,
voice that goes along with it to not be so dysfunctional for me.
sometimes simple things like you're in the kitchen and they have set an alarm and the alarm goes off and you say, "Hey Siri, stop the alarm." And it's kind of a random thing, which one of your many devices tells you that it doesn't have an alarm.
Yes.
It's usually not the one that has the actual alarm. It's one of the random other devices in the entire apartment or house that is telling you, "Hey, I don't have an alarm, so what are you talking about?" Stuff like that.
Yes.
I have to wonder, and I'm not being an Apple apologist, or for that matter, a smart home apologist by any means, but are we still asking just a little bit too much of these things for the state of development?
No,
I mean, we've
it's
all
been
been
enough time.
influenced. Well, see, that's what you say, but you and I aren't the ones programming it, Patrice. And so I'm with you completely on the alarms. I want to be able to say to my phone, set an alarm on my phone for, and then that would require me to answer it on my phone to turn it off, or
Or
tell it on
not.
my watch or whatever.
Yeah, any device should know what's going on. That's again context. Any device should know what's going on with you, your life. You said it. So if you walk into the bathroom and then the alarm goes off, we should be able to talk to the device that's closest to you, say, "Hey, like turn off the alarm," and it knows, "Oh yeah, there was an alarm that you set." Doesn't matter which device has it.
Okay, but see, there's the thing. Jeff just finished saying that everything is on device, and I like that a lot.
But they can talk to each other. Like they your account, your devices, they can process on device but know what is happening in your account
And I give you that. I
locally.
give you that. But I hear these discussions all the time, and I have to wonder now, in an era of ChatGPT, where we're seeing, amazing things come out of get spit out of this, you put it in, and so now I do have to wonder, now maybe I feel like now there's something out there that actually works in my world, not in science fiction, but in my world. And now my expectations are going to go up. And so now Apple needs to step up. And frankly, so does Alexa, and so does what I forget what Google calls theirs, but
They call theirs
hello
Google.
Google.
Google,
No,
I don't know.
that's the thing. The expectations go up, and that's natural because the expectations I had, well, 10 years ago, was it 10 years ago with the iPhone 4S, I think, when Siri was introduced? Or is that even longer now? See, I don't even remember anymore.
Yeah,
It's that
don't
long.
know.
So
It's
over to,
been an
it should be
eternity.
10 years-ish, plus or minus. The stuff that we expected 10 years ago and the stuff that we expect today are different because, I mean, one, we've adapted to what it could do back then, and two, there have been like we have had 10 years to make progress, and some other companies have made that progress. So it's not that it's, I mean, I work in development. I know I just said like it's complicated and takes a long time. And I'm not saying like I don't think Apple, like anybody at Apple did any of these things intentionally. Like it's not that they're hobbling the features or anything. Some of them were really complex and it is probably not super easy to figure out which device is doing what and like where to stop an alarm and all of that. Apple is also a freaking big and powerful company with like a lot of smart people that could figure it out. And that's why I'm saying my suspicion is that they just focus on something else. And maybe it's already fixed and has maybe been fixed for 2 years, but in a version that we haven't seen yet. It's totally possible.
Oh, go ahead. Go
Well,
ahead.
just real quick, Jeff, because Patrice, you sort of alluded to it, but I know at least one of our friends has said that they resented the S lady because, and well, for that matter, all of them, because they were teaching us how to query them. They weren't responding to the ways we wanted to ask. And it's like, yeah, okay, but that to me felt like a science fiction argument that, they're supposed to not only take my request, but parse my request accurately from a, 400 or 500 different ways it might be said. And
We adapted
now,
to to computers. Like we
right.
have like trackpads and keyboards and whatever. We adapted to how computers needed us to input things.
Right.
What's the big deal? I mean, sure, ideal world. Yes, ideal world. They're just, I mean, well, actually, they're not just like human beings because human beings misunderstand each other all the freaking time. So that's not the level that we want. Like they're better than human beings at understanding exactly what we are thinking and not saying. Sure. Best case, ideal world, never going to happen, but different story.
Yeah,
This, even, I mean, even if you talk to another person, you always adapt to the other person how you ask questions. If you have, I don't know, you have someone, let's say, moved to the US 2 years ago, English is kind of still a challenge, you will talk to them differently, very clearly, not even intentionally, probably not even like, no, really will not even notice it, but you will talk to those people differently. You probably talk to me differently, even though I'm like probably hopefully fluent enough at this point. Like it's just normal. You adapt to the other person so that the other person understands you.
And you also, like, if I tell somebody to go turn on the living room lights, what am I asking them to do? Am I asking them to turn on every single light, the overheads and the lamps? Or do I mean the lamp on the left end of the sofa or the lamp on the right end of the sofa? And so many people seem to think that these
It should just
devices
know.
should read our mind. And
Yeah,
it's
just
like,
know.
no, yeah.
No,
And
no. Not
it's not
yet.
going to work that way. Well,
Well,
not
not
yet.
yet.
And
No. And probably never, but
but to Jeff's point, they are constantly tracking what we meant. And so it very well might be reasonable to say after X number of requests to turn on the living room lights when I really meant turn on the sofa light, that it says, okay, I'm going to turn on the sofa light until he tells me something else.
Or ask,
So,
say, hey, did you mean the sofa light?
well,
Also fine.
yeah,
We
that
do
would be
that too.
fine
If we're
too.
not sure, we ask.
Yeah, but how many times before it gets annoying? Listen,
Yes,
just
before
like,
you say, well, every time I do, it's always the same, so just do it.
well, and think how much we've complained about, on our Macs, on Mac OS, asking, do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? Constantly asking for
Yes.
permissions.
Yeah, it's
Well,
true.
that's the world we live in because it's trying to protect you. So I want people to set their expectations of some of this stuff properly, and instead of just saying I want, I want, I want, understand what the implications are of wanting what you want, because you're the first ones that are going to gripe about the fact that it sent your information to company X so it could fulfill your desires.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I mean, and don't take sci-fi shows as kind of the yardstick because I mean, I don't know, Star Trek. Well, one, that was a human being, two, it was a script. So like that's not even real. Like it's just science fiction. So that makes it easy. There have been, I mean, there have been other shows where they kind of but that was more a trope. Okay, the house doesn't understand you. Like or misunderstands you or whatever. Like
Jeff, I'm sorry. I
it's
think I interrupted you, and I wanted to make sure you got back to whatever you were
Oh.
going to say.
No, it's fine because what you're saying was important. I was just going to make the point, to tie back into to the whole thing about Apple engineers itself into corners a lot of the times. I think part of that comes from the fact that many of, well, some of the tools we rely on didn't start at Apple. So the developers didn't have the insight of Apple's inner workings. And Siri is an example of that. iTunes is an example of that. Final Cut is an example of that. And there's others along the way. And eventually Apple ends up having to re-engineer. Would they have had to do that anyhow? Yep, maybe.
I don't think that's the reason. I mean, everything these days relies on stuff other people have done. It's rare, it's, I mean, there's still a lot of original code being written, but it's rare that you're only doing something that has no other code from other people in it. Like, it's just, I mean, Basically, the world relies on open source code these days. Everything, no matter where.
Fair
No,
point.
I think it's more the thing that a lot of the things Apple is doing is, and I know that because I've talked to like the people behind the scenes at WWDC a couple of times. I would love to go up to the labs and just talk to developers, engineers, from like managers and whatnot, researchers from Apple. And what you learn is, especially in this AI, ML, Siri world, a lot of it is research. Like, I mean, sure, there is other companies doing things and there's papers being published in this area all the time. But even the papers are research. Like, it's, I mean, it's still not real. So you take things that nobody has done or very few people have done anything with before, and you experiment with them and you come up with something and you keep going and you build the product. And I mean, anybody who's built a bigger, more complex product will tell you that at some point you simply make decisions. And not all of your decisions will turn out to be the correct ones. And sometimes even some fundamental decisions will, I mean, what was it? The trash can MacBook, sorry,
The trash
Mac.
can Mac Pro.
Yeah, like a ton of really good decisions. And I mean, in a product line, even where Apple, I would say, is had tons of experience. So it's not a research area where they had to reinvent the wheel, basically. And even there, you make decisions, and sometimes those decisions then pan out to be like fatal mistakes. And then you have to go back to the drawing board and say, okay, like, how do we salvage this? Like, do we completely start over? Can we, like, step by step change it to get to a point where we can continue? Like, you just have to, it's just part of the development process, whether it's hardware or software, that sometimes you run into an area, into a corner, or you develop yourself into a corner, and then you're like, okay, what I thought 3 years ago turned out to be a really bad mistake, and okay, we have to change it now. Live with it or change it. And usually live with it is not the option.
Yeah, and change it takes time.
Change it takes a lot of
Yeah.
time sometimes. Depending on
Right.
how long, I mean, how big is the mistake, how deep down did the mistake happen, and how much time has been spent since?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't expect we were going to talk this long on this topic. I had like
Yeah.
several more lined up because I
Okay.
figured it was all going to be like super short things today. And yet here we are.
Jeff,
Yes.
I'm
You know, we can talk about a grain of sand for like 2 hours. So fair. Yeah, we can.
I'm dying to take us down a rat hole about the trash can Mac, but I'm
Sure.
resisting the urge because
Okay.
that could be an after show because it's history now. But
Yeah, it
I
is.
think there, in my mind, there were some lessons that we all needed to learn from the trash can Mac, not just Apple. But that's a whole nother discussion.
Yeah, without jumping into the hole, you would think that the G4 Cube would have taught Apple the lessons that they needed to know for the trash can Mac.
Jeff, you're pulling me into the hole. You're pulling me into the hole. So I'll go this far in the hole and then I'll stop, I promise. But it felt like so much of the pushback on the trash can Mac came from the inevitable comparisons to what people had before, as opposed to recognizing, maybe the way things were going and that you weren't going to necessarily have to have, a case that had to have seven hard drives in it. Because right, we don't have that now. With all the pro level devices, we don't have it. But people were used to thinking about the way they did things then, and it suited them because that's what they had. And they really didn't pull back and say, could I do this? Does it make more sense? Maybe the trash can Mac was a little ahead of its time with some of the interface decisions, but that's what I mean. I think we all have to pull back and learn lessons from those things.
Well, and hopefully Apple is learning lessons.
Amen. Amen. Both
Yeah.
sides.
Yep. Yeah. So you get smarter. Speaking of smart, Tioso Host is so smart. Perfectly smart solution for your web hosting and for buying domain names. And if you need tech support, man, they are on it. They're really good at what they do. Why would I bring this up? And not just because it's an opportunity to make a clever transition into talking about them, but because what they're doing is looking at the British Tech Network and saying, man, we'd love to give back to the community. So let's do it through BTN. And they are. What they're doing is giving us all of the resources that we need so that we can be here bringing you multiple shows live every single week. Streaming takes a lot of resources, and they make that happen for us. And not only do they do that, but they're giving us hosting space. So there's a place for the BTN website. They're giving us the storage space so that all of the show recordings are available so that you can watch or listen whenever you want. And without their support, we would not be able to do what we do. So we really, really appreciate the TSO host is here for us. Thank you, TSO hosts. Now, all of you, please go out on social media and thank TSO hosts for being here and supporting us. It's so easy to do, and it's a great way to let them know that we all appreciate how generous they're being by supporting us. So please go give them some online love. If by chance you do need to buy domain names, why not use them? They're going to give you good pricing. They make it easy to find and get the domain names you want. If you need web hosting, they make that easy too. Just throw all of it in your cart. But don't forget to throw in the discount code BTN20 so that you get 20% off your order. So not only do they give good pricing anyhow, but they're offering all of us a special deal simply because we're all part of the BTN family. So thank you for that, TSO hosts. And speaking of awesome and support, Patrice, do you mind helping me out with the live chat that you mentioned earlier in the show?
Sure. So we have a really cool live chat. So when we are recording this show live, yes, if you're listening to this in like your podcast player, you can join us live and interact with us and talk to us while we're recording and get the pre and the post show and like a lot of extra things that we do not put out there as a podcast. And like when we're recording, there's this live chat, and you head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com, and then you can like chat with us, which is where we put the links to articles, to extra bits and pieces that we find interesting that we mention, where other people talk to us, cool things that are coming up, all of that. We record this show every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time, for this very show, the Mac Show. Also, the big show or the big tech show, I think how it's actually called
Oh,
in
really?
iTunes. Yeah, in iTunes it still says, and I think that makes sense. It's the big tech show.
Oh, that makes sense.
Fun, but we always call it the big show. So big show, 7 p.m. UK time on Thursdays. That's when we record. So it's always good to join. Follow us on social media just in case we have to shift something around. It's also where we put out links and all of that to the shows. And then head over to the chat and you can talk to us. But if you are listening like to us in the podcast, you're like, I just prefer it that way. I don't have time when you're recording. I just don't want to, which is totally okay. That's why we record it, that's why we put it out there. Totally okay. You can still get to the chat transcript. So we have a bot in the chat. It's not a very smart bot, it just records everything that we say. Doesn't even care what we say. If Muller's in there, just don't click on the links. And then it puts it up on our website. And if you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and in the calendar on the page select a date anywhere between June 2nd, 2015 and today, for example, today's date would be May 31st, 2024, then you will see what we talked about on that particular day. And if you put in today's date, for example, then you will see what we talked about today.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that. And now it's time to talk about cool things. So, who has the first cool thing today?
I'll throw it in.
Okay.
I don't usually do this, but this is a TV series that premiered on Hulu in 2023. I didn't get around to it till recently, sorry. Called Class of 09. And at first blush, you think it must be a crime drama, and it is a bit of a crime drama, but it's also a techno crime drama. It follows a class of graduates from the FBI school through their careers, told in three different time frames, that basically the past, the present, the future. But the big hook here for us as tech people is AI plays a huge role in the development of the story and how it affected the world, that world, but also their careers. And I don't want to go too far. Yes, it does get a little dystopian, and that's okay, because it really, kind of things end up, in theory, all's well that ends well, or maybe not. But it's not an ongoing series. It's a mini series, but it's well worth the time. It's one of those that you sit down and it's like, I'll give it a shot, and you get sucked right in. It probably took me about three quarters of the first episode to really pick up on the fact that we were shifting back and forth through time periods. But once the AI thing starts to fold in, then you are definitely hooked. Just order a pizza, because you're going to be there to get through it. So it's available right now on Hulu. I don't think it's available anywhere else, but at least I found it on Hulu. So go check it out. I do not think, if you're watching this show, that you will be disappointed in this.
Cool. And it's the same actors playing themselves in each time frame.
Yes. Yeah. With obvious makeup alterations, but yeah. Yeah.
Right. All right.
But
Very cool.
they're also different things that really resonate with our world as it exists today. Some of the discussions we've had here about AI and some of the other things that are going on in our world, that there are clear parallels to. So yeah, I just found it very enjoyable and compelling in some places.
Ooh, Class of 09.
Class of 09.
Awesome. All right. Well, the only reason this isn't going to suck up my time is because I'm not paying for Hulu right now. But when I do, I have a list of shows that I need to watch. This will go on it.
So what you're saying is you're getting closer and closer to actually subscribing.
Yeah, and I blame Chuck.
Yep, blame Chuck.
You can't blame me too much, because I don't recommend TV shows that often, but I'm proud to have this one on your list, Jeff.
Well, Chuck, when you recommend a TV show, then it has to be really good because you don't recommend TV shows very often.
Point taken.
Yeah. All right, Patrice. What's your cool thing?
So my cool thing is another really cool book slash audiobook. So the link is the audiobook version on Libro, my favorite audiobook app that's not Amazon. So it's independent, supports independent bookstores as well. So I like that. So this is the second book in the Star Trek Discovery series. So there's tons of others as well. I think I picked the first one a couple of weeks ago. This is Star Trek Discovery: Drastic Measures. And the story is basically it's 2246, about 10 years prior to the Battle of the Binary Stars. We're on Tar and like a Federation colony, Tarsis IV, about 8,000 people, and there's a contagion going around that's kind of destroying all the food supplies. So quite a dire situation. They've sent out this distress signals, but they're like. At least the information they're getting is, yeah, the assistant is like weeks away and they know like food is not going to last that long. There's a, you might know that person, Lieutenant Commander at that point, Gabriel Lorca, with a small team assigned to a Starfleet monitoring outpost on that planet. And the governor or the governor who kind of, well, there was a mutiny, and the new governor was put in place, and he employs a solution to that problem to prevent mass starvation that I think a lot of people will not agree with. And yeah, at the same time, another person you or another character you might know, Commander at this point, Commander Philippa Georgiou, is yeah, tasked to lead a small, hastily assembled like couple of ships, first responders to the planet to basically yeah, ensure they have at least enough to kind of bridge the gap until the full support can show up. And then stuff happens. And they kind of have to mount a rescue mission and deal with that. Yeah, Adrian Kodos, who will one day be branded Kodos the Executioner, and that's the book. And it's a really, really good story. Really interesting. A lot of action. A lot of also interesting human stories. So, highly recommend it.
So as soon as I got in the description where it said Federation Colony Tarsus 4, and I'm like,
It is
oh
referenced other
crap, I know
places.
Tarsus
Yes.
4.
Yes. It is later on referenced in a lot of other places. So this fills in gaps here where, like, what happened exactly.
Yes, as a boy, James Kirk was there during this.
Yes.
And if you catch some on-screen stuff, in Enterprise, Star Trek Enterprise,
Yes.
you find out that Hoshisato, as an adult, is on Tarsus 4 when
Yes. Yes.
Kodos is doing all of this. All
Yes.
right,
Yeah, they
that's a
show up.
very
And so.
cool
Yes.
planet and event to
Yeah.
choose to tie in a bunch of stuff.
Exactly. So the narration is really good. I wanted to mention it's about 11.5 hours, so quite a longer book, but I always enjoy the long books with the good stories. So highly recommend it.
And I will throw this in. I've read this or listened to it, Patrice. Yeah, it is very, very, very well done. I thoroughly enjoyed this. Pardon me. I think Dayton Ward is probably one of the best Star Trek story
Yes.
writers out there. And so
Yes.
this one lives up to his reputation. We just saw the end of, and no spoilers, I promise. We've just seen the end of Star Trek Discovery. Let's see, well, yesterday, as right. So the only thing
Yes.
I will say is long live Captain Lorca.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
Yeah, and we will get to see Giorgio again. So that's the good thing.
Yes. All right. Well, I'm bringing an ebook today as well. This is
Nice.
from an author that we all likely recognize, Brian Chafin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so Brian, I do the Context Machine with Brian. He's a longtime friend of all of us, and he has a new short story that is out. Well, I don't know if it's actually available today. It's
So
pre-order right now.
it
I
says
think it drops
pre-order
at the
still,
beginning
yeah.
of June. So it's a short story, and it's called King Liam, first of his name. And it's based in the whole universe world that Brian created with his first novel, Accidental Intelligence. So it's another story in that same I'll call it the Brian verse. And
That's good.
it's just this really cool short story. Doesn't involve any of the characters from his novel, and but if you haven't read any of his stuff and you want an easy way and free way to get into this, it's a cool short story. I have read it already, and I have an inside with the author, and I really enjoyed it. It's a short read, and it was just a fun little story. And the
June
ebook is
4th, by the
free.
way.
I'm sorry, what?
June 4th.
June 4th.
So
Okay.
next week, Tuesday, I think, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so it's available on all of the platforms, ebook platforms, but there's been some weird problem with Apple Books. And so it doesn't matter where you
Go
are.
figure.
When you go to it, it'll tell you not available in this country.
Funny.
So Apple apparently is working on it.
Maybe.
I dropped the Amazon Prime link in because that one I know works. So it's available there. It's available Barnes and Noble. There was a problem with the Kobo distribution as well. I don't know if that's been fixed. And eventually Apple Books too.
And there's an the as you said, the ebook version is free. The audiobook version, because you can't make it free, it's like 350 or something. So
Right.
346 it says here. So
Yeah. And yes, Brian really wanted it to be free.
but
The
they don't allow
audiobook
that.
as well. But yet Amazon won't let you do that. So it's basically this is the price Amazon said this will cost. And Brian's like, okay, whatever. I guess I can't control that. I have listened to the audio book as well. Brian does the narration himself.
Nice.
And it's really fun to listen to Brian reading this story.
Yeah, I checked. It's not available on Libro yet, so I'll have to check.
I will ask him
Probably
about
because it's
that.
not released. So it
Probably.
should show up. Yeah.
I will have him double check that because it should show up there.
So to be clear, there's not an audio book version of the novel. That's just the short story right
Not
now.
yet.
Okay.
Brian does
I'm
want an
really waiting for
audiobook
that.
version of Accidental Intelligence. But if you haven't done audiobooks before, start small and figure out how it works.
Yes, good idea.
Yeah.
Don't do
Some
a
point.
20-hour audiobook first.
Right.
Good
There you
point.
go. King Liam, first of his name. All right, so with that, we have managed to make it to the end of the show and once again got through half of the articles that I brought for us to discuss.
The skill.
Yeah,
Only we can do that.
that's right. That's right. But this has been so much fun, and I really love kicking off my weekend by hanging out with you. It's just wonderful. Oh, and when I say you, I don't just mean, you, Patrice, Chuck. I mean everyone that hangs out with us. So it's just a really great way for my weekend to begin. So thank you. Hey, Chuck, where can people find you?
You can find me at macvoices.com. That's where you get lots of audio and video of me interviewing interesting people. We are still, things work out a little interrupted during May because of my personal schedule. So we're still dropping some of the NAB interviews. That does not mean they're out of date by any means. In fact, as with any trade show, a lot of the things and people we talk to, their products are just coming out or aren't even out yet. So they're still very timely. They're always entertaining. And on Tuesday nights, Mac Voices Live on YouTube at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV, 8 a.m. Eastern. Come and join us in the chat room. We'd love to have you. Jeff is there. A lot of our other friends are there. Patrice is there when she doesn't mind losing sleep. And hey, hope you come over as and on all the socials, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner. Thank you, Jeff.
Awesome. Well, thank you. And Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, usually almost every week. That's a weird one. Usually almost. Yeah, because I'm traveling sometimes. I have business trips like next week, for example, where I can't join. But usually I'm here every week on the Big Show on Thursdays, on the Mac Show on Fridays. Jeff and I have a completely new thing that we announced yesterday during Big Show. Something we've been working on for a couple months already, a new podcast. It's called Retro Rewatch, and it is a retro rewatch of TV shows that Jeff has never seen, like older stuff, older shows that are quite popular, but Jeff never even got around to. We started with Stargate SG-1. Because that kind of was the trigger of okay, we should do a show about this, because you were in Context Machine with Brian, and he was surprised that you had never seen it. I was surprised that you had never seen it. I literally wrote it to you. It's like, wow, like how is that even possible? And we decided to do a show, and we've been doing like we have a bunch of episodes already recorded. Of course, episode zero with like it's short, like 5 minutes, with like a little bit of the backstory and what's coming is already out as of yesterday, I think. Yeah, yesterday or the day before, maybe.
Yeah, Wednesday or Thursday.
Timey-wimey stuff. And the first episode should drop next week, and then every 2 weeks probably. Yeah, every 2 weeks we agreed on. We'll have new episodes, and we'll go through the show and the Stargate episodes and talk about them and rewatch them. And yeah, there's no guarantee we'll do all of them. There's no guarantee we will not drop off at some point. We'll just see how far we go. We might go to another show and come back. All of it is possible. This is not a oh, we're rewatching Stargate. This is a we are rewatching things we want to see. Old things that we want to see. I mean, Stargate is like 20, the episodes we're watching are 27 years old about. So it's not a new show.
What? Stargate is SG-1 is 20.
27 years. Yeah. 1997. Was it May? March,
Wow.
May 1997, something like that. No, it was summer, so probably like June, July 1997 is when it started.
Wow.
It's been a while. It's been a while. So that's what we're rewatching. Yeah, retrorewatch.com. You can find it. And yeah, it's in all your podcast players and yeah, wherever you go. A lot of fun.
I'm having so much fun with this, Patrice. And the fact that there are so many shows out there that for some reason I just never got around to watching, but you have,
We have a
means
list.
that we have a very target-rich environment
Oh, yes. Yeah.
for shows.
Yeah, decades to come probably,
Oh,
if
yeah.
we manage to do it that long.
We could do this for the rest of our lives, and we
And
just,
still not scratch the surface.
right. Yeah, we will continue to find shows where you're shocked and
Well,
say, "How have you not seen that?"
yeah, exactly. I mean, what was it the other day when we talked about Eureka like a couple of weeks ago?
Right, Eureka. Haven't seen
I think
any of
was it Dead
that.
Like Me that you've never seen?
No, Dead Like Me, I loved.
Yeah, okay, you've seen. Okay, that was the one. But there was something else where like, okay, we should add that to the list. Like it's all the time.
Dead Like Me. There was another death-focused show that I didn't see.
Okay.
Daisies, Pushing Up Daisies.
Pushing Daisies,
Pushing Daisies. I haven't seen
and I
that.
mean Gilmore Girls and so on for this. Like there's a lot.
So it's not
Yes,
going to
really.
be just genre shows. It's just across the
No,
board.
anything we
Interesting.
find interesting. It's
Interesting.
anything
Interesting.
from our perspective retro enough, so not like a show that came out like this year or last year or something like that. Has to be retro to some extent. Yeah, anything. I would say we started with SG-1 quite far already. Is that? It's really interesting. So
Yeah, I have thoughts on it, on the episodes.
oh yes, you do.
There's a
Yeah,
surprise. I know.
we always have thoughts about it. No, it's quite interesting also for you. Like you can watch the like on streaming. You can watch the shows with us and see what we're seeing and see and disagree with us. And if you want to reach out, I mean, we are on Mastodon, retrorewatch@takeout.social. Also an email address, hello@retrorewatch.com. If you have opinions about things, share them with us.
Yes, please. All right. I guess now it's my turn. Social media, Jay Gamut. I'm active on Mastodon and Instagram and some on Threads, but that's my handle on basically everything. Then for shows. All right, here we go. Tuesdays, Chuck lets me join in on Mac Voices Live. Then Thursdays, Dave Ginsberg lets me join in on In Touch with iOS here on the British Tech Network. Thursdays for the Big Show, Fridays for the Mac Show. The Context Machine, that's the show Brian Chaffin and I do. And Patrice and I do Retro Rewatch. So with that, wow, holy crap. So much fun to hang out with all of you. So thank you for just making my Friday morning so much fun. And all of you that are watching, listening live, thank you for being here. Everyone that participates in the live chat, thank you for doing that too. All of you that watch or listen to episodes later, thank you for being part of the BTN family. Hey, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. Everyone that is helping support the Daily News show, thank you for doing that because it does take extra money to bring that show to you. And it's always high quality content. 5 minutes, the tech news that you need waiting for you when you get up in the morning. So, yes, thank you to everyone that's supporting that. Thank you, TSO host, for being here. And with that, I think it's okay now to say, don't forget to join us next Thursday for the big show, then again next Friday for the Mac show, and everyone have an awesome weekend.
And Friday's keynote poker.
That's right. Friday is keynote poker. That's
Oh,
right.
another chance for me to embarrass myself.
We all have something to look forward to.
Thanks, Jeff.